So it's interesting, we want to talk about capitalism in this podcast because that word raises a lot of emotion in this day and age. And you and I met after a number of years at a social event and got deep into conversation about conscious capitalism. So let's explore the concepts behind conscious capitalism, because I think for a lot of people now, the word capitalism represents something very negative. And I guess I'm asking, what's gone wrong with capitalism? What do you think, Manoj?
Riz, thank you very, very much. Always good to be with you. Capitalism has had its fair share of negativity associated with it. However, I have also seen significant positive effects related with the advent of capitalism. In any event, where people are getting strung out is the fact that they're associating capitalism with a significant increase in the level of greed, in the level of human greed, in the level of selfishness. And capitalism used to be, or still is, effectively survival of the fittest. However, there is clearly a very exclusive element to it, whereas I believe the theory of conscious capital is very inclusive, because conscious capitalism includes everyone and makes sure that all the stakeholders are fully aligned in terms of their higher purpose, their stakeholder integration, the leadership, and the culture, to make sure that all these basic tenets work together to arrive at a specific outcome.
Now, capitalism is basically a tool, isn't it? I mean, it's a tool that can be used in a good or bad way. And I think what we're saying is that it's gone down a path for a lot of people that's bad. Now, it seems there is a growing awareness, though, that good business and profitable business can come very easily from business practices based on conscious and collaborative capitalism. And there are a number of principles that underline this concept. So I'm going to go through some of these with you. Now, the first being conscious leadership, because there's a belief that organizations are essentially a mirror of the actions and the personality of the person who's at the top of that organization. So let's discuss how conscious leaders can inspire those below them. And I'm wondering what you believe to be the key element in being a conscious leader.
So I read a very interesting piece, and I look up to this gentleman. His name is Bob Iger. He's the current CEO of the Walt Disney Corporation. Very interesting story. He was the former COO, and when Michael Eisner was replaced or left, Bob Iger came in and effectively had to deal with a very fractious board, had to deal with he had some transactions on the table, and they were highly contentious. What he did was he sat down with three people. One was Roy Disney, who was attacking and actually sued Walt Disney to remove Bob Iger as a CEO, sat down with him, and instead of using his ego, he used empathy to win him across. Bob Iger did the same thing with Steve Jobs, which ended up in Pixar becoming a shareholder, or having Steve Jobs as one of the largest shareholders in the Walt Disney Company. And then he did the same thing with Perlman from Marvel. Instead of sending his troop of 15 or 20 Disney of his Disney team to go out and meet him in New York, he went there himself, sat down with him, and hammered out a deal.
So he came personally, he didn't come with an army,
He came
basically.
personally, but he also what he ended up doing was he basically put his ego aside for the betterment of the entire organization, because he realized that if he could work with the individual in a conscious and a collaborative manner, he would arrive at a outcome that would benefit everyone. And that's something that I'm seeing is a highly inclusive atmosphere that will allow people to work together.
So what you're equating with conscious leadership is a strong element of empathy.
Correct. Absolutely. And replacing the ego with empathy is key.
So one of the key things, another tenet of the conscious capitalism is conscious culture in a company. So of course, a conscious leader can encourage that conscious culture. How does one go about hiring the right people who will follow this principle? Because it is ultimately teamwork.
The job of a leader is to ensure that his or her, that their team operates on a set of values. Those values are set by the organization, they're set by the direction of the company, and most important, they're set by the leadership team. The leadership team not only has to have, not only should be talking about the values, but they should be living them and implementing them. And what is very clear is when I go to the example of Bob Iger from Disney, he actually showed his entire team that by putting his ego aside, he arrived at a successful outcome, which was in everyone's best interest.
And when we talk about another of the tenets, it's the stakeholder inclusiveness and value. So this term CSR, corporate social responsibility, was around for a long time, but often now people say it's an excuse or a kind of a cover, a way to sanitize a business. Over time, that evolved, and that term gave way to a bunch of others, including CSV, creating shared value, or TBL, sometimes 3BL, the triple bottom line, referring to a company that would have three parameters to measure, not just profit, but also people and the planet. And that means that social and environmental concerns are as important as making profits. To what degree do you think the general public has real faith in companies who espouse these values and talk about, you know, CSV or CSR or TBL and so on? How much do you think they really are making a difference to how the public perceives big business and corporations in general?
So, Riz, we've seen the growth of what I call all these social acronyms. Everyone's been using them to their benefit. What is interesting, though, is that there are quite a few companies out there that actually live by these acronyms, and they actually do engage in the triple bottom line philosophy. They do engage in the creating shared value, that whatever they do has to have value, not only for the end user, being the client, but also for the suppliers, for the employees of the company, for all the stakeholders attached to it. And they actually sit down and make sure that everywhere along the line that they're able to take care of the ecosystem that's involved in a specific transaction. So therefore, not leaving anyone behind, making sure that profitability is made, is garnered, but it then allows everyone to benefit. And then it spirals into something quite prolific, because it allows people to form a financial foundation on which to then grow to the next level.
So if we see the value in capitalism, if it's conscious capitalism and it has a value for everyone, how or what do you think it will take for the word capitalism to lose its synonymous association with the words evil or greedy?
I think it's transparency and clarity. At the end of the day today, when you have a situation where there is such a high disparity between the salary of the CEO and the lowest paid person, that generally upsets people. People say, well, there is a high lack of transparency there. Why is somebody getting paid umpteen amounts more than someone else when everyone jointly together is adding value?
It was never like that before, was it? The margins were never that big before.
I think there was just a lack of transparency before, whereas now in today's world, with the advent of all the data that is currently out there, I mean, it's very easy for you to find out, well, in terms of a publicly listed company, it's very easy for you to find out what people are getting paid. Mm. And therefore, one is easy to decipher whether, in their view, someone is being overpaid or not.
So you're a fan of the book Conscious Capitalism by Raj Sisodia, who's a professor at Babson College, and John Mackey, who is a co-founder of the hugely successful supermarket chain Whole Foods. What is it that drew you to that book in the first place? And I know you gave me a copy when we first met, soon after we first met, and I've seen you give it to quite a few people. What drew you to that book?
So I have an emotional link with Babson College, being my alma mater. And I also have an emotional link with the theory or with the concept of conscious capitalism. I was mesmerized when I met Raj. I really appreciated his approach to capitalism. Him and I spent a lot of time talking about how conscious capitalism is not only about survival of the fittest, it's making sure that everyone benefits from the suppliers, the clients, the media companies, that anyone that is associated with a specific transaction or with a specific sale of a product, manufacturing of a product or a service, it's making sure that all the stakeholders are profitable and alive and marketable. And I really like the fact that it was value driven. So you look at Whole Foods, which has a high set of values. They're very clear as to how they transact. They were one of the few who banned single-use plastics early on, and they made that a basic tenet. Sustainability is one of the basic tenets of Whole Foods. Raj Sisodia captured that, and when he penned the book with John Mackey, it was just great to see someone put a refreshing approach to capitalism. And it just resonated with me so much that it's something that I believe in. And I really like the fact as to how it ties in to all the other tenets, which is, as I said, higher purpose, stakeholder integration, leadership, and culture. It all works together, and conscious capitalism seems to be the glue that holds everything in.
It must be something that resonates with other people too, because Raj and John have essentially started an entire movement around conscious capitalism. How broadly would you expect it to be adopted by the business community as a long-term strategy, rather than becoming something that is transient and perhaps fades away?
So if you look at, so I think I would extend it to include conscious and collaborative capitalism. Today's world is very clear in terms of, I think, the pace of change we've seen in the last 2 or 3 years, especially if you look at the way distribution has changed. The growth of Amazon as a marketplace, look at Alibaba in China, how they have grown as well. You now have certain marketplaces that effectively dominate distribution. So basically, whilst you are selling on a marketplace, you need, it's now become a stage where you cannot operate without selling on that actual marketplace. So I think there is enough space for everyone to be working together. I think it's very clear that the business community is realizing that they need to do good business in order to survive. And those that are not doing good businesses, or that are not following the ethos of good business, are working themselves to become obsolete.
How do you apply conscious capitalism in the way you run your company and the way you do business?
So we have a very collaborative approach. The philosophy of the DSA group is 1 + 1 = 11. Therefore, I make sure that if I'm interacting with any partner, with any stakeholder, the stakeholder are include the members of my team, include our media partners, our business partners, our suppliers. We make sure that it's a win-win approach, and we make sure that we want them, if they are extremely valuable to us, and we hope that we add the same value to them as well, then we make sure that we always work out a situation that ensures longevity, and at the same time ensures that we are both achieving our objectives. And that comes down to transparency and actually having a conversation as to what both of us expect to gain out of this relationship.
So as a kind of thought to wrap things up, what do you think might be the next step beyond conscious capitalism? Is there a natural evolution into something else?
I think, interestingly enough, conscious capitalism has been practiced by a few companies. You see it in the way that when Google had first started, Google's mantra was "Don't be evil," right? And yet they're in a position today where they've effectively dominated the search engine space. However, do I believe that they are evil? Absolutely not. They've gone out there and developed their skill set to a very high level. Are they conscious capitalists? Absolutely. They are very conscious of their impact they're having globally. The same will go for Microsoft. You look at Salesforce. There are some companies out there that have really taken, or that are living by, the conscious capitalism values. And I don't think I think the next stage is you'll see a lot more collaborativeness come in. So that's why I extend it to calling it conscious and collaborative capitalism.
We'll have to watch this space. Manoj, thank you very much.
Thank you, Riz.